There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello again, listeners, and welcome to the Round 13 Wrap. We're over the hump, the last round of the buys to come. What is meant to be the easiest of the buy rounds? Well, I reckon that's going to be a lie. Welcome, Arsh, to talk about how the easiest week of the buys is now the hardest.
Zaino, 100%, my friend. In the limited time we've had since the game finished today, I have worked out exactly how screwed I am. and let's just say it's at the high end.
Yeah, I'm sitting pretty at the moment, but mate, I'm sitting at 18 before any rookie needs. So a couple of debutantes like a Brody Kemp or someone for Carlton would be really nice.
Yep. We'll put it this way: if I'm at 17, if miracles happen and Ned Reeves plays,
yeah, right.
That's after trades.
That's after trades. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like your chances on that, but we'll get to him later.
No, I know. I know. Yes, the swap around of the Eagles game has definitely not helped things, that's for sure.
Bugger.
But let's crack into it, Zaino. It seems like so long ago that the round kicked off on Thursday night. So we'll jump into the injuries. And look, there wasn't actually that many this weekend, apart from one pretty major one, which I'm sure we're going to chat about in a minute.
Yep.
But yeah, there actually wasn't very many, which is cool. So Thursday night, we had Todd Marshall subbed off pretty early on with concussion. He was replaced by Boyd Woodcock.
Mm.
Friday night was the interesting one, Zaino, and I know we'll talk about this later. Ned Reeves was a late out with a rolled ankle.
Yep.
He was replaced by John Segler. Now, this apparently happened at training on Thursday, so that created lots of problems when it came to people that had already completed their trades, especially in Supercoach and Dream Team. So that was quite interesting. Will Hayward, he was subbed off with concussion, replaced by Lewis Taylor. And Harry Morrison, he did a hammy and he was replaced by Josh Morris.
Yep.
On Saturday, the big one, so not so much from a fantasy perspective, but from a tribunal perspective, Hunter Clark had his jaw broken in a contest with Dave McKay. He was replaced by Jack Bytel. And then Sunday, well, pretty much nothing, Zaino. The only thing I could come up with was Taylor Garner limped off in probably with about a minute to go in the North game. But he obviously wasn't subbed out. They didn't put the sub on then. And then only one tiny little injury, for fantasy, but from today's game, with Nathan Murphy subbed off for Jay Rantel with a hammy. And that, with a corky, I should say. And that's it, Zaino. I reckon that's the quickest injury report of the year so far.
I reckon you're right. It was... Yeah, like with some of the issues we've got coming into next week, the gods have actually looked nicely on us. So, but you know what I am expecting, Arch?
At least three
injuries during the week, two restings, and a bloke who needs some time because his missus is having a bub.
Yep. It'll surprise me.
It'll happen. You can't. The way that it's been the last 2 years, you can't wear that. You know something's coming. So, and funnily enough, Arch, the suspensions weren't far off either.
Yes.
Now, we've had, as you mentioned, McKay has been sent straight to the tribunal for his high bump on Clark. As you mentioned, it broke his jaw. Look, based on the precedent set by the AFL, I reckon it's probably 3 to 4 weeks there, Arch. So he probably gets off.
Hasn't this created a stir on social media, Zaino? Have you been following it much?
I do, but I don't understand why, mate. To me, it's pretty clear cut. He got the guy on the jaw, broke his jaw. Players know the risks. It's game over. So
let me ask the question then, Zaino. If it was reversed, so the exact same contact, but it was McKay's jaw that was broken, would Clark be in trouble?
Well, it makes no difference because it wasn't the situation. It's Clark didn't choose to bump. McKay chose to bump. It's that simple. We know that as soon as you do that, you hurt a guy, you're in trouble. I'm not going to get too much into it, Arch, but the amount of research and testing that's been done around the world with concussion now, the game has to change. We don't like it. We don't want it to, but and not just AFL. All major sports around the world, it has to change. What happened there, whether it's deliberate, accidental, cannot happen for much longer. They've got to stop it one way or the other. I think it's structural tribunal. I think he should get weeks for it, and players just have to learn to change the way they're going to play the sport. It's changing around the world, not just in the AFL. So, that's the sort of thing I think we need out of the game, personally.
Look, I'm probably the other way, Zeno. I think he will get weeks for it, but I also think it was just two guys going the contest. It's one of those ones where I haven't had a lot of time to look at the footage. I can see both sides of it, to be honest. McKay does speed up and does run into him, but I still believe he's contesting the footy. He's not bumping. So, I don't know. It's one of those ones. Look, I think if he goes, I think it's either going to be 3 or 4. It's going to be 0. It's not going to be in between. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I just think it's a clear cut, Arch. The research and the results you're seeing from head knocks around the world at the moment, this has to be out of the game, one way or the other. Well, I'm not saying that he tries to do it deliberately or maliciously.
Maliciously,
I'll try that again. But it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, there's studies out, I'm not going to get too much into this. There's studies out there that show that soccer players who have been headbutting the ball for 20 years are showing forms of brain damage. That's the sort of thing that you're talking.
I'm not arguing the outcomes, I completely agree that the less head knocks we can have is obviously preferable, but I also don't think, because basically what you're saying is we're going to take the bump out of the game completely.
100%. It's if the risk is hurting somebody in the head, it'll come out of the game, and that's happened in the NRL, that's happened in the NHL, it's happened in the NFL. That sort of impact. So, and many other sports around the world as well. So, if that's the risk, then it'll come out of the game. It is that simple. So, that's where contact sport is going if you follow the trends around the world. And unfortunately, the AFL's following. When you say unfortunately or not, it's not the game that we want and we want to see, but it's what's going to happen. So, it's just
the factor, though, Zeno, of you know exactly what you're getting yourself in for when you play that game. You know that it's a contact sport, and you know that there's going to be potential collisions there. Now, absolutely, I agree, where someone clocks you, that's what suspension's for. But in a situation where, it's and in this case, I think it is, it's an accidental head knock, then, that's what you sign up for.
And that may have been okay in the past, but it's changing. That's the point. There's no... Yes, you know what you're signing up for, but it doesn't mean that it should happen, look, we played contact sport, mate. We've played footy most of my life, I know you played a lot of footy, a lot of basketball, a lot of sport as well. Shit happens, right? To use a colloquial term. But it's got to stop. I'm not saying I've got the answers. I don't know. I've floated ideas that I can see all players mandatory wearing helmets in years to come. All these different things that may happen. But whatever the answers are, is whether you've signed up for it, agreed to it, understand it, deliberately, accidentally, it's just got to stop. It's just these incidents around the world have to stop before it's too late. I mean, look, and not to talk out of tongue here, we've had two players in recent times that we've heard of that have taken their own lives because of concussion. Whether we like it or not, whether we like how the game's changing or not, it's going to. So that's my view on it anyway.
Fair enough, Zano. We could go on all night. And apparently the tribunal's Thursday, I was just reading.
Well, the funny part about all this, right, isn't just so much that it's Thursday. What I just read, and this only just came out maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes ago, Christian didn't even get the opportunity to review this under the MRP.
Really?
It was sent straight to tribunal by Hocking.
Interesting.
So he's intervened and sent it straight to tribunal, and I had the letter that they wrote. I won't read it out, but the gist of it was basically they consider it's severe head-high contact straight to tribunal. And that was decided by the AFL, and Christian didn't even get the ability to put a grading on it. So that's
now,
a really
this is
interesting
the thing, Zano. Going by the letter of the law, I 100% agree that it was severe impact and that it was head high. There's no one arguing that.
No, exactly right.
No one is arguing that. So it's just a matter of obviously, and we've talked about it for years now, unfortunately, or not unfortunately, but it seems as though the outcome is going to dictate the penalty, not the action.
And we spoke about this last week, how I want to see two sides to that. The outcome has a ruling against it, and the action or intent has a ruling against it as well. And he chose to bump, but I believe he chose to bump, but I don't believe his intent was at any stage to line a guy up and break his jaw, right?
No, that's
by,
right.
By any stretch of the imagination. But that's what happened. you know? That's what happened. So that's what you've got to live with. But yeah, I'm really interested to see the AFL's explanation about how they've sent it straight to tribunal. It's a real strange one there, Arch. But funny to see what happens down the track. All right, so we're going to move into and have a quick look at round 14 by planning. So just quickly, Arch, we know that there's been now 8 teams have the bye instead of the usual 6 thanks to some changes. Yep. West Coast, Richmond get added to the list of Melbourne, Collingwood, Adelaide, Saints, Frio and Sydney. The current games are Geelong, Western Bulldogs on a Friday night. There's some good loop looks there. Gold Coast Port on Saturday, which is the early game in Gold Coast. North Brisbane, Saturday Arvo at Marvel. The Giants, Carlton, Saturday night up at Giants. And Hawthorn Essendon, Sunday Arvo at the MCG. Now, the one thing I want to talk about round 14 by planning, Arch. Mm-hmm. If you haven't already planned for round 14, you failed. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's right.
It's too late now. So we'll sort of jump into the next segment in a second. I've got a few things to talk about in the value picks out there.
Good, now, I need some this week.
Yeah, all you're looking at doing now is just jumping on some blokes, you know? Getting guys in that have had the bye, that don't have the bye. We're hoping for a few rookies to come through. And there's some cheap options out there too, Arch. That's what it is for me. It's just now basically getting anybody that's not one of the teams on the bye in.
Yeah,
that's the way to go about it.
This is where, like you mentioned, planning for the bye. This is where Reeves out absolutely screwed me.
Yep.
Because I ended up having to keep him and run the risk that he'll play just with the way my team was structured. Because the other options that I was looking to bring in, because I did, in AFL Fantasy, I did know with enough time to reverse trades and have a bit of a look, but everyone that I was looking to bring in, and it was basically Amati, he's got the bye, you know? So the decision that I had late on Friday afternoon was, well, do I leave Reeves as my in and hope that he plays next week? Or do I take a guaranteed score from Amati knowing that he misses next week? And the risk that I ran was I was more desperate for somebody this week than I was for somebody in round 13. But I think that screwed me. I won't say I've made the wrong decision because I think it was the right decision for it.
Yeah.
But Segler having a good game has completely screwed me.
Yeah, I can't see him coming out now. I can't see Reeves getting back in. So that's going to be interesting. There's a couple of rookies there. We really need a bit of fresh blood, I think, Arch. Cheap fresh blood. Mm-hmm. The real interesting part for me was I've really actually struggled to find a fourth trade because my plan was to move on Josh Tracy. Now, he's coming off 2 blinders. There's no way I can move him on at the moment. So I brought in O'Connor a couple of weeks ago. I'm just going to get rid of him for hopefully someone that's playing. That's all I'm going
to
do.
You can give your trade to me, Zano. I need it, mate.
I'm seriously looking at it going, and the problem with that is most of the guys on my bench are going to hold their spots for 3 or 4 weeks. Yep. If that's the case, I may not find a loophole at some stage. So that's why I was going to hold on to O'Connor. He could just sit, you know, at the doldrums and, you know, preferably, you know, use that as that loop if need be. But, I may not even have that option, which is a nice place to be in. But, you know, what do you do?
What you going to do, Jerry? Congratulations, you're still my agent.
All right, Zano, so you mentioned before some options. Tell us a bit about your charter value and who we can look at this week because I know I need the help.
Cool. So, again, we're not talking about charter value here. All I'm going to do is look at guys that are underpriced or about bottomed out, possibly, as well,
yep.
and about where you expect them to be. I haven't done the numbers on it, Arch, because there's not much point, because you just need guys that are playing, right? It's as simple as that. So a couple of guys that, I guess guys that you'd call genuine premiums at this stage, who have pretty much bottomed out now. They may drop another little bit. Like, I think Lachie Neal is an example, and Mitchell both have about 115 break evens, give or take a few points.
Yep.
In AF is an example. But with the bye, it's time to grab them. So I'm looking at guys like Mitchell and Neal. I think they're both ready to jump on. Merritt is the other one. If you're going to spend a little bit more, he's well and truly bottomed out after a bad game or two. And then the other one is Zeeble as well, who you'd probably consider a forward defender premium at the moment. He's sort of come back down a little bit in price and has sort of topped out now as well. So he's one that's worthwhile. Now, Hunter and Haynes are the other two interesting ones. We spoke about Haynes a few weeks ago. He's had a couple of really good games now, and you can jump all over that.
Yep.
So he's definitely one you can look at. And Hunter's still, he's going up in price now. He seems to find his place in that role that he had, and he's starting to increase in value, so you want him. Guys like possibly Ridley, but you could probably hold on him. But guys, I'm just sort of looking through the list now. Who's available? Lloyd's not playing. Whitfield, you want to hold on. He's going to drop a fair bit more in price. Matty
Rowles. Yeah, that was annoying. I bought him in this week.
Yeah, Matty Rowles, another one to keep an eye on. He's going to drop. Dangerfield, Duncan are going to drop crap loads in price. You know, these are the guys that Tim Kelly's probably about there now. So they're the ones that you can just sit on still, so you don't need to worry about those. The one that I really like, if you're really desperate for some value, Arch, is Jai Simpkin.
Yeah, right.
You're going to get inconsistent games out of him. He's going to go 70 and 130 on a regular basis. But I reckon he's going to be close to averaging 100 from this point on to the rest of the season with a fairly big deviation. But he's down around the, if I remember rightly, it may even be in the high 500s in fantasy. And so I haven't got the numbers in front of me. So, he's definitely one you can look at if you want some real value there. But that's sort of the ones for me. Those players there are the ones that you need to chase, I think, at this point in time.
Yep, cool. And what about at the other end of the scale? What rookies are we looking at?
Yeah, nothing. There's going to be plenty the following week. You've got a couple of the Eagles boys who I don't know what the JS is like. It's probably not great, but they played good footy on Sunday night. So, it'd be hard to move them on. It's time to be looking at moving on guys like Bergman if you haven't. Collier Dawkins not playing, got the bye. Guys like Iden's tapped out. Jordan's probably ready to go. He's starting to lose money. Cozzy, if you haven't.
Yep.
Powell's time to move on. Guys like Rowe. Like Scott's sort of holding his spot, but Rowe, he's got the bye. Phil Thorpe's got the bye. Those are the guys coming into the bye you want to move on. Bianco's probably got a bit more to make.
This is the problem, Zano. So I've just had a look at the break evens, right, and just done a quick count.
Yep.
Of the top 21 lowest break evens, seven of them have a chance of playing, right?
Yep.
So we've got Newcomb, Reeves, who probably won't play.
No.
Nick Bryan for the Bombers. He's one that you potentially could look at if he gets named.
He'll be in and out headache, though, I think, is going forward. But if you're desperate this week, for sure.
Which I am, so we'll see. Madden for the Lions. Lions, I'm not sure if he gets a game. He's played three. Then you've got Nick Shipley for the Giants.
Yeah.
Bosna Vilagi as well. And then Kieran Briggs, who's probably not going to play a game. So of the top 21, realistically, there's maybe three players that are actually going to play.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Newcomb's the one. You have to get Newcomb if you didn't get him last week.
Already got him, thank God. So,
But apart from that, we're pretty screwed. We're looking for debutants, Zano.
We really are. And I'm hoping there's a few. I'm expecting Kemp from Carlton to get a run very soon.
Yep.
Whether he gets it this week, he'll get one in the next few weeks now that the VFL might be back playing again soon as well.
Yep.
So he's one. You know, so there's a couple of guys there that will get runs in the next sort of few weeks. So whether or not they get the runs this week or not, that's going to be the big question.
Cool. Now, Zaino, have you got anything else before we move on?
Nope, that's all I had.
Okay. I did want to just throw something in, so this is completely off the cuff.
Yes.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Nathan Buckley, Zaino, seeing as it was his last game today. Just thoughts on his coaching career, because obviously he announced his... well, resignation, I suppose, after we recorded last week. So what are your thoughts on Bucks, what he's done with Collingwood, even as a player and as a coach?
Look, I mean, as a player, he was a gun. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
Never got the flag, I don't think, as a player, if I remember right. Didn't one reserve premiership player or a coach either. But I actually really liked him as a coach. I think early on we found that he struggled a fair bit because he talked a lot about a couple of podcasts that I listened to. He couldn't handle delegation. He wanted to do everything himself.
Yep.
And what that meant was he was putting himself under a lot of stress and pressure. As time went on, he learned to delegate and let his offsiders do their job.
Yeah.
So it wasn't too bad. I thought that he coached pretty well. Been a decorated career, and to be honest, I don't think it's the end of his coaching career either, Arch. I think he's going to pop up somewhere else.
Yep. I guess, look, from my point of perspective, Zaino, I absolutely hated him as a player simply because he was that bloody good.
Oh, exactly.
You know? Yeah,
exactly.
He's one of those players that would just absolutely carve you up. And, you know, me being an Eagles supporter and you being a Carlton supporter, from when he played, so we're talking, I think, early 90s he started with that one season in Brisbane.
Yep.
So, you know, Carlton were actually pretty good in the 90s there, Zaino.
Yeah,
made
exactly.
a couple of grand finals and won one. So, but you always knew, even when Collingwood absolutely sucked, which they did in the late 90s, that he was going to carve you up. One of the few players to win a Norm Smith medal in a losing team. And did, I guess he sort of won a premiership as an assistant coach under Malthouse in 2010.
Yeah.
But I think he will be forever remembered as he got so, so close as both a player and a coach and just couldn't get there. He's a Dom Sheed kick away as a coach. And in, I think it was the 2001 grand final, they got very, very close against against Brisbane. And from memory, there was one goal that was... or one point that was actually a goal that wasn't called a goal, and that could have swung the tide the other way. So very decorated, will go down as one of Collingwood's great coaches without actually having, you know, one on the last day in September or the first week in October or November or whenever they decide to have it each year. So, yeah, just wanted to reflect a little bit on that and give Bucks his dues, because as much as we hated him, you have to admire the... you know, the skill as a player. And I'm a bit with you, Zaino, the way he changed his coaching style.
Exactly,
I agree with the delegation side of things, but I also think there's a fair component of it. And we talk a lot about it as, you know, with the star players that move into coaching. Sometimes, you know, the star players, they just don't understand that not everyone has their skill set. Not everyone has their drive, and Buckley was notorious for his drive to improve and win. And I think that's where he lost a lot of players there who didn't share his same mentality. You look at the players that he moved on once he became head coach, you know, your Heath Shaws, Didax, those sorts of players, you know, perhaps like the party side of things a little bit more, and didn't seem to have that 100% dedication to the game. And so it was very much, you know, my way or the highway.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, around 2017, 2018, when they did that review, that was when his mindset shifted. And as you say, he moved to a more collaboration style of coaching with both his coaches and his players. And I think that obviously really helped him out. What screwed him, I think, this year was not entirely in his control with the salary cap stuff that we know ended at the end of last year, with some very, very good players moving out of the club. And, you know, if you lose, you know, one of your probably top three midfielders in Treloar and a couple of other nice pieces that got moved out in Phillips and Stevenson,
yeah,
it's going to hurt. It's absolutely going to hurt.
Sure.
So, yeah, just wanted to give Bucks his dues, I know.
Yeah, and look, I think it's been a pretty decorated career. And look, to be honest with you, I don't think it's over. I really don't. I think he'll pop up somewhere. He's got too good a footy brain not to.
Yeah, worst case scenario, I don't think he's going to find a problem getting a gig in the media. As you say, he speaks very well. He's very knowledgeable of the game. So he'll have a nice little earn, maybe even for the rest of the season with a part-time media job.
Exactly. Who knows, mate? He's got plenty of time up his sleeve, I'd say.
All right, Zano, into the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I will kick it off this week with a rookie, Zano. It's rare that we actually had some good rookies as well, but I'm going to give it to Jai Newcomb.
Yeah, nice.
Hawthorn, one gamer. So I've got to say, Zano, after one Hawthorn rookie completely screwed us over in Reeves, another one saved the day on Friday night. So Newcomb, he recorded 5 kicks, 8 handballs, 1 mark, and a massive 14 tackles to score 87 in AFL Fantasy and Dream Team and 75 in Supercoach. Now, to give you an idea, Newcomb recorded more tackles in one game than Jordan DeGoey has in the entire season.
Yeah.
That was before Monday's game. I don't know how many tackles he got today. Hang on, let me have a quick look. 4. So he actually went to 16 tackles for the season because he was on 12 before today's game. So... well, there you go. That says a bit that when DeGoey gets a quarter of his season's tackles in one game. But there you go.
Yep.
The problem that we have, Zano, is I think it's a little bit unsustainable.
Exactly.
So 14 tackles. To give you an idea, the current league leaders, so Jed Anderson is averaging 9 tackles a game, but that's only from 2 games. Realistically, it's Hugh Greenwood, who's averaging 8.8 tackles per game from 12 games.
Yep.
So you're expecting a bit of regression from there. But, I'm not going to knock it back, Zane. It was a very nice debut from Mr. Newcomb.
Exactly. It was very nice. And especially seeing it was a risky call to grab him. I was pretty happy with that, that's for sure.
Yep. Cool. And I think your good is along the same or similar lines.
So it does. So I'm going to take that a bit further, Arch. And I'm going to give my good to the new, we'll call them ish fresh meat in rookies that came through this week, Arch. Now, some of these guys were a couple of games in. One was about 4 games in, but he's actually just shown these last 2. So, Amati had a 92 in Dream Team and a 70 in Supercoach. As you said, Newcomb, he had an 87 and a 75. Tracy, who's just come from nowhere the last 2 weeks, has had an 81 and a 95.
Yep.
Even Walker, who we didn't expect much from, had a 55 and 50. That's fine for this time of the year. This bloke, now... If you still got him, you've had a shocking year, but boy, he paid you back. Highmore had 110 and 111 in Supercoach. Foley from the Eagles had a 90 and an 82, and Edwards from the Eagles had a 90 and an 86. So they were all guys, a couple on the bubble in the formats and a couple of newbies. So have to say there, Arch, that was a really nice a wave this week from rookies, I think.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, I was impressed with both Foley and Edwards, obviously, in a cracking game on Sunday night. My concern is, as good as they were, you're probably looking at Luke Shuey and Tim Kelly coming back in after the bye. So I'm imagining one of those boys, unfortunately, doesn't hold their spot.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know which one, but maybe both yet, Arch. But, yeah, someone's going to be very unlucky there. Very, very unlucky. Cool. All right, let's move on to, I think, your bad now, Arch.
So my bad, Zano, can I say St Kilda's last quarter in their game against Adelaide? Is that all right? Are we allowed to do quarters?
You can say a quarter if you like. That's fine. Wow.
So it was interesting, Zano, because I watched watched about the last 5 minutes, I think, of the first quarter, and St Kilda was absolutely smashing him. So I ended up watching a movie with the family on Saturday night, and... the end of the movie, I jumped on Fan Footy just to see how it went and saw that that Adelaide had got up and won by a goal. So I thought, wow, that's... So I actually jumped back on and using KO, watched the last quarter. And it was just... the way St Kilda gave up that lead is just beyond belief. So after being up by 36 points at one point in the game there, Zeno, they only managed to score three behinds in the last quarter, at least one of which I think was rushed, and Adelaide scored 3-6. Now, the last goal that the Saints scored was Brad Crouch at the two-minute mark of the third quarter. So they were goalless for over an hour. Now, I do think, actually, to be fair, that was actually less than what Adelaide were goalless at the start of the game. But Adelaide were in front for just 3 minutes and 16 seconds of total time, or about a minute and eight of total game time.
Wow.
Zana, was when they were in front for the whole game.
Wow.
But they were in front where it counted.
Exactly.
Now, look, and speaking of controversy for, you know, on the internet, so I will grant you the free kick to Phil Thorpe in the square was dubious at best, especially given the umpire's explanation that he was holding him and stopped him from marking the ball, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that's exactly what defenders are meant to do. Look, I thought he maybe got him a little bit high, but that wasn't what the umpire said. And the Saints just, they ran out of legs completely. So the inside 50 count, Zeno, I did try and find it, but I couldn't lay my hands on it in the short time that I had to actually have a look for it. But if it wasn't 75 to 80% Adelaide's way, I would be surprised. So it was a great, great finish by Adelaide. But St Kilda, look, mate, you, given that it's a short week and there's only a few teams that played, they're very much going to be in the spotlight this week.
I think you're right. But the thing is, who are they going to drop? It's just the problem. Who's coming
they've
out?
Got no, you know? And that's the thing, Zana. They've got no one to drop. They're all injured.
No, exactly. Look, the one thing I will say there, Arch, is I do want to bring up the Phil Thorpe in free kick, though. I must say, it's 100% a free kick. And I'll tell you why. As you said yourself, right up there, was that Howard was holding him in the marking contest. You can't hold in a marking contest.
He got him high. I didn't say that he was holding him.
So whether it was holding, whether it got him high, either way, it's a free kick, right, in the marking contest. Like, if the umpire deemed that he held him, look, I think that he's got him over the shoulder. It could look like a hold. It could look like a high, whatever you want. But there's a free kick there. Because I think what the problem there was that I don't think Howard realised it was still a marking contest. You know, I think he felt that the ball had spilled out, that Phil Thorpe wasn't trying to take the mark. It was a funny situation right on the line. But it is a marking contest. And you can't grab a guy or get a guy over the shoulder in a marking contest, whether it's on the line or whether it's 60 metres out. That's just the rule.
Yeah, I think my point with that one, Zane, is, look, I agree, it's probably, I wouldn't say it's 50-50, but I reckon you would see 10 or 15 other contests exactly like that through the game where it's not called a free kick.
Yeah, but you probably see 10 or 15 that are as well. It's look, anyway, they'll hear there. The way you stop a guy marking the ball is by spoiling it, So anyway, that's cool. But aside, it makes no, and at the end of the day, Archie wouldn't have made a difference to the result anyway, because they would have got the point from it, won by a point anyway. So that's what a lot of people forget. That aside, the Saints do have to be the biggest disappointment this year, though, don't they? Well, 55 years, not just this year. I've been saying for years, I know we've spoken about it, that I just think their list is, it's a solid list, but there's no superstars on the list, if you know what I mean. Like, Jack Steele's a great player, Brad Crouch now is a great player, they've got some good forwards, Billings is a good player, but I just don't see any game changers or game winners, you know? There's no Dusty or Liam Ryans or, you know, guys like that, Bontempelli's and, you know, every team's got one or two around the traps, if you know what I mean. You know, even a DeGoey or, you know, you can name 20 blokes like that. They just don't have anybody like that. So I just find that to be a bit strange. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on down at St Kilda World, mate, but it looks pretty ordinary, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a big drop-off, Zano, obviously, from winning a final last year to not even looking close to competing this year and losing against last year's Wooden Spooners. I think it reminds me a lot, Zeno, of Brisbane from when were they? When was the Fev year? So Brisbane probably overrated their list and thought they were one or two players away from winning a premiership. So they got in Fev, they got in a couple of other guys, and it all just went completely to crap. And it took them 5 or 6 years to turn that around. I'm wondering if St Kilda... Now, I probably rate St Kilda's list ahead of that Brisbane one, to be honest. I do think they've got some solid players, but I also think their, you know, their injuries haven't hurt, haven't helped, I should say. But they're also putting a lot of responsibility on a second-year key forward to kick goals. And when there's when he's the main focal point, and he's had 2 years of AFL footy,
exactly,
it's there's a lot of pressure on him, and I just think he has he needs to be given another year or two to develop. Mm. There shouldn't be that amount of pressure on him.
Absolutely agree, and I think that's the problem is there's nothing else there. That's the yep. that's the issue for him. There's nobody else running around doing that, so that makes it really tough for him.
It would also help if they could kick straight, I suppose.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
All right, Zano. Bad time. Who gets your bad?
So I'm going to give it to myself a little bit this week, Arch, but more yep. so my vice captain options and choice that I had in AFL Fantasy this week. Now, these are these players are the players that I toyed with for the whole week, putting the vice yep. captain on, right? I even checked weather conditions, possible matchups, the whole lot, right? Jack Steele, who scored 133. Rory yep. Laird, who scored 121. Josh Kelly, who had 152. And Aaron Hall, who had 133. The fifth option that I had was Tim Taranto, who I selected for his 105.
Yep.
So absolutely gutted that I had five options and I couldn't have picked the worst one. I ended up having to back Gorn in today's game for captain. So luckily he got 119, which eases a little bit of the pain. But I came very close to Jack Steele and Josh Kelly as my vice-captain, Arch, and granted, it would have only been another 30 points, 35, 40 points, but still would have been nice to have had it. And you know what? A bit of a shout-out to Gorn as well, who had a 76-point second half to get to that.
Yes,
so,
yes.
He wasn't tracking that well, but at halftime I was thinking, oh, God, I probably should have vice-captained the Taranto score.
Taranto,
but
yep.
Thank God that Gorn stepped up for me, that's for sure.
I was a bit the same, Zane. I was following it at work. No yep. public holiday over yep. here in the West, so... just had the AFL website and fan footy up there, and yeah, he wasn't looking fantastic at halftime. And Luke Jackson was looking quite good score wise, so I thought, oh, they've given Luke Jackson the run against the you know the second string Collingwood guys and doing most of the ruck, but he actually wasn't. And Gorn definitely had a ripper second half to come home. So I did the same thing. I actually went Taranto and then Gorn as well. I wish I had those options. I did have Laird and Hall, but I yep. wish I had the option of putting the VC on Steele or Kelly.
Yep.
I had the choice of bringing in Kelly or Whitfield this week. Guess which one I went?
Which one?
Whitfield. Of course. yep. So yeah. I got Whitfield 77 instead of Kelly's 152.
Yep.
So there you go. These and it was literally a toss of the coin. I was debating either way. I can't remember why I actually ended up going Whitfield. I think because I need more help, or my back line is less complete than my forward line at the moment. So it was about evenness there, and that was it. And the difference between that was 70 points this week, which was disappointing.
I haven't got Whitfield, and I'll hold off on him now. I'm actually sort of on the opposite. I've actually got seven defenders in fantasy at the moment I could play that you'd consider premium or very close to it. I guess Jarth is probably not premium. And Isaac Cummings, probably not traditional premium, but he's playing well enough to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're the two guys I got there. But I've actually had to play Laird in my midfield, and he'll be there for a while. So, my forward line's a little bit lighter, which is why I've got someone like Kelly sitting there. So what do you do? All right, Arch, let's get on to the real bad stuff. So let's throw it to your ugly.
So this is interesting, Zana. I'm actually going to give it to player rotations. Now, we know at the start of the season they cap player rotations, and my issue is that the rotations now are managed to within an inch of their lives. You know, everyone, regardless of how well you're going, if it's your time to come off, you come off. So, you know, regardless of if you get, you know, kick two goals in 2 minutes, have a rest.
Yes.
You get 10 possessions in a short space of time, off you go to the bench. It doesn't give the good players a chance to perform in high-pressure moments towards the end of the game. Now, I looked with interest on Sunday, the two close games, obviously the draw and then the Eagles' close win over Richmond. So firstly, the one between GWS and North Melbourne, Now, one of the cool things at the moment that Fan Footy have actually introduced is it actually shows who's on the bench at any one time.
They used to do that years ago, and I think we forgot about it, and they started doing it again, which I thought was brilliant as well. Really nice.
Yep. Because I've noticed the AFL app does it as well, so obviously the data scraping that they do, they can now show that, which is awesome. So at a key point in the game there, when the Giants were absolutely surging, catching up North Melbourne, Jack Zeeble and I think it was Aaron Hall were on the bench. I was actually listening to the commentary for that one. The play was on the other side, and they just couldn't get those two experienced guys onto the field because they just couldn't sub them back off. My question is, why were those guys on the bench to start with in a close game when, you know, you need some experienced heads out there? They should. The reason they came off was because it was their turn. Then you look at the Eagles-Tigers game, and, you know, it showed. I had a look at that after the game on Fan Footy, and at the end of the game, the players on the bench for the Eagles were Foley and Edwards, who are two or three game players, Langdon and Waterman. So four pretty, let's face it, inexperienced players when it comes to the Eagles. So the commentators as well in that game were actually mentioning, you know, they said it quite a few times throughout the game that Elliot Yeo is on managed minutes and he was given a hard limit of 80 minutes. That was it. Once his 80 minutes was done, he was coming off.
Yep.
He actually played about 85 minutes there because there was no way in hell he was coming off in that last 5 minutes, which was really quite interesting. And, you know, actually had a ripper last quarter too, I might add. Probably won in the game, to be honest. You know, not taking away from Josh Kennedy's kick. Contrast that with Richmond. Now, on the bench to finish the game for Richmond was Dan Rioli, Josh Caddy, and Jack Gray. And whilst, look, I'll grant you they're all experienced, they're all premiership winners, and they don't, with Riley Collier-Dawkins and Ralph Smith not playing, they don't have a lot of those rookie players on the field there. So
no, exactly.
I don't really have too much of an issue with that. Mind you, you know, we talk about game breakers. Dan Rioli can definitely be a game breaker there. But this is the interesting one. With them on the bench was apparently Basher Hooley. Now, he had a ripper game off halfback. He was the top-scoring fantasy player. Not that that is the be-all and end-all, but it tells you how much he's racking up. He's brilliant by foot. Surely in that last 2 minutes, they really could have used him, even after the Eagles scored. Couldn't they get him back on the field to possibly get that, get it forward and actually hit a target in the forward run rather than bombing it long and have Shannon Hearn mark it? I just thought that was, you know, he was obviously on the bench because it was his turn.
It's not even that. The other issue, I think, late in games now is because of the caps as well that are there. I don't think Richmond had anybody. I don't think Richmond had any interchanges left, you know?
Then they shouldn't have taken him off.
No, I don't disagree at all. I fully agree with you in full. But, yeah, I don't like the whole interchange cap thing. And I think they've come too far with it. I would like to see something along the lines of where there is no cap for the last 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 5 minutes of the game, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
So, yep, you've got your cap, and that's fine to have a cap up to the last 5 minutes of the game. You're only allowed to have your 70 interchanges, say. I think that's what it's set at now. Say you're only allowed to have 60 up to the last 5 minutes of the game, last 2.5 minutes of the game. I don't know, just pull out a number.
Whatever,
And then from that point on, you're allowed to have as many interchanges as you like. That's what I'd like to see to stop limiting this sort of situation. But, yeah, I just think it stops, you know, situations like that. But these situations keep going, Arch, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, Zana. I'd probably say leave it at the 75.
Yep.
But apart from the last 2 minutes of the game where you can have four rotations.
Yeah.
So that's basically one person off, one person on. Once you're off in that last 2 minutes, you stay off. Effectively.
Yeah. See, I don't even think you need to worry about that. Just make it open slather like it has been in years gone for the last 2 minutes. Because what's the last 2 minutes going to stop, you know? You're already fatigued by then. It's that situation like you just said then where if Hooley's fatigued, well, he goes back on, he's going to damage his team anyway. So, I just like to think that last... To limit you to be able to make a change that you want to in the last 2 minutes of a game that's very close, because the AFL want any form of restrictions on interchange, it just doesn't seem right to me. Full stop.
Yeah, I would say before we move on that Richmond should have managed their interchange a little bit better, given that they know that. But, yeah, anyway. All right, Zona, you're ugly. Too.
All right, my ugly. So I'm going to give a special mention here to Sidebottom Arch, who got at halftime. I was changing my ugly, I'll be honest. He was on at 15 at halftime. Now, same as you, we're in WA, we work today. So I was listening on the radio, keeping an eye on my phone here and there. He had a 49-point third quarter, which saved him big time. Let's just say it saved his bottom. And he ended up scraping himself to a non-disastrous score as a forward of 82. So, that was lucky. 15. He had 5 at quarter time and 15 at half time, Arch. I was looking at going, well, at least I get to drop 3 players at this stage. So didn't expect it to be side bottom, but it was. But my actual ugly this week, Arch, now, we mentioned this earlier, we touched on it, but it has to go to the Hawthorn Football Club for waiting for the last second to take Reeves out of the team. Now, he was one of the most, if not the highest traded in player this week in probably most formats across the comp. Definitely in Super Coach and Dream Team where he was on the bubble. So and almost bottom rookie price, where it's a bit higher in fantasy by that stage, but definitely cheaper in the other formats. But as you mentioned, Arch, the issue isn't so much for round 13 because we had plenty of players that could cover for round 13 to play, you know, to get to our 18. It was most guys who wanted in for that round 14 bye, where we've got so many teams on the bye. So with Segler absolutely carving, I mean, Segler was close to one of Hawthorn's, if possibly close to Hawthorn's best on the weekend. He was well and truly in the top three. Possibly him and Mitchell, you could flip a coin to who was best on the weekend. So I can't see Segler being dropped for round 14, which means I just can't see Reeves coming in.
I agree.
It's just mind-boggling. And if they'd given us that notice beforehand, most of us would have dodged those bullets. But nope, it's just made life really difficult and frustrating, however we look at it.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Zano. And we look like we obviously compare a lot to NBA and American sports where they've got mandatory, injury updates and that sort of thing. You see players in the NBA go from possible to probable to maybe to, you know, all that sort of stuff. But we didn't even know that he was possible. All we needed was something to say. And you can leave him in the team. Like, I absolutely get, depending on how bad a sprain it is, I absolutely get leaving him to the last moment to possibly try and get him up. I do get that. But it would have been handy to know, he's going to be a fitness test at the, 40 minutes before the game. We could have then planned around that on the Friday.
Yes, exactly. Just give us some notice so at least we're aware of it, you know. And if you've got to bring him in and you're going to move a player around via DPP, you'd be aware of it. So you might make a different choice, you know.
Yep.
You might move a different player that isn't going to lock you out of the ability to reverse the trade or whatever it might be. So I thought it was pretty rough by a March and I wasn't overly happy about it. So
I can't believe they don't factor into account our personal AFL fantasy teams when they're assessing their team sheets for the weekend.
The AFL never have, and I don't like them for it, but that is what it is. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. All right, Arch, with all that issue, with everything going on, with the fact that you're struggling with 17 guys, let us hear what trades you're actually hoping to pull off this week.
Look, to be honest, Zona, I've literally just got home from work and sat down, so I don't know 100% what I'm even looking to do. So AFL Fantasy, obviously, this week we get 4 trades, use them or lose them, which isn't awesome. So I do have about 250K in the bank. So what I'm hoping to do is a 2-up, 2-down. So we're talking guys like Burns, Collier Dawkins, Rowe, Kaczynski. At least he's playing.
Yes.
But I might need to sideways trace someone like that Crab Claverino, those sorts of guys there just to get numbers. Even very best case scenario, I can turn 4 blue dots into 4 green dots. I'm still only fielding 17. That is assuming Reeves plays.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I'm in a lot of trouble there. Dream Team, I'm also in trouble. I'm down to 10 trades left. And again, if I use all 4, I will be at 17. And Super Coach, I'm down to 13 trades. And I think with that one, I will have 18 if Reeves plays.
Yep, fair enough.
So I'm screwed, wow. Zana. Long and short of it, I'm screwed.
That's going to be a lot. I'm looking forward to next week's.
yes. Getting back to
normal. Yeah, no, more to your results and your uglies and bads for next week, Arch. It could be a long one. It could be a very long one. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But, yeah, what do you do?
Cool. All right, and what are you looking to do, Zane?
So, in AF, Arch, it's time to move on some of these rookies and some of these guys, of course, all these guys are actually going into the bye. So, they're all pretty much pluck now, ready to move on. So, for me, it's Burns, Jordan, Collier, Dawkins, and O'Connor. I was planning on moving Tracy, and as I said earlier, hanging on to O'Connor is my loophole in fantasy, but yep. I just can't move Tracy on now. You just can't do it. So, it's going to be O'Connor to go. Now, I've got a bit of cash up there. So, Tom Mitchell, and at this stage, I'm looking at Neil of Wines, I think, Arch, coming in. I think Neil's probably the best value at the moment. Wines is in the best form, but I think Neil's just building up nicely as well into what we expect him to do. So that's probably my move. I'm looking for two rookie debuts there, Arch. But that would actually, if two rookies play, new guys come in, it will give me 20. So I've actually got a couple of guys up my sleeve where I can look at a couple of the guys for the following week to bring in. So
nice.
I'm sitting okay there. So in Super Coach, I currently have 12 trades up my sleeve. I only plan to use one at this stage, which will be roll out to a premium mid. I haven't worked out who yet. There may be a few guys on the bubble for rookies. I don't think there will be that may need to be looked at, but that'll probably be more the following week. So really in this week, I'm just looking at that, and that should give me 19 playing in that. Now, DT is still a disaster for me, Arch. I don't even know what my rank is in DT at the moment. Let's have a quick look. I don't like it. My total rank is 1,352, which is pretty ugly. Not happy with that. But I've still, I'll put it this way, to give you an idea how well my team's gone, I still have Rowan Marshall sitting on my ruck bench. And
yep.
I've had absolutely no choice because things have been that bad elsewhere. Having a guy sitting on my ruck bench doing nothing has been the lesser evil for about 3-4 straight weeks now. So
yep.
I just shake my head and just go, I don't know. I may as well keep him now until he comes back, you know. Well, that's how far that's gone.
Zano, if you're having a bad time in Dream Team and you're ranked at 1,300, I'm at 2,700, mate. So don't even get me started.
Fair enough. So I think there, I'm still sitting on, what have I got there, 13 trades. So Jordan and Rowe will probably go coming into their buys. And I'm looking at a premium mid, again, someone like a Titcher and Neil who are well underpriced, and a premium defender of some sorts, you know. So someone underpriced there. There's a couple of guys that I'm looking at. So that's, I think, where I'm going with all that, Arch.
Cool. And you just mentioned before, Zano, rookies on the bubble. Let's have a look at what rookies we've got on the bubble for Dream Team and Supercoach that you could potentially actually bring in. You ready?
Yep, go on.
Reeves?
Yes.
Injured. That's it.
Donuts. Okay.
That's it.
So we're screwed,
basically. There's no one else there. And this is a break-even, you know, a reasonable break-even that's played two games.
So this is a couple of debutants where we're scraping the barrel big time.
Correct.
This week. So come on, Carlton Review. Bring a few of those boys in.
Yes.
We'll pray. All right. Well, that's it again. Sorry, we didn't have time to plug for questions this week again, guys. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. But thanks again, listeners, for tuning in. As always, you'll get me at Otilius Zeno. Keep an eye on overlinesports.com.au. As of next week on, I'll be getting the chart of value up in full again, Arch. So we'll keep an eye out for that. And, things are settled down over East Arch, but we say to everybody, stay safe out there.
Yeah, absolutely, Zano. And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And, you know, you mentioned staying safe, Zano. 13, 11, 14 is the number for Lifeline. There's always somebody there to have a chat if you are feeling a little bit worse for wear. And hit us up on Apple Podcasts, and not just us, but all the podcasts that you do listen to. 5-star rating and reviews. If you can't contribute money, which, you know, we don't have a Patreon or a membership thing anyway, so no. All we ask is a 5-star rating and
absolutely.
Review rather than your hard-earned cash.
Absolutely. And look, best of luck this week. This should be an easy week. Cough, cough. So hopefully next week it's not as bad, and we're all sitting here happy as Larry Arch. But thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk soon.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.